Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you in studio. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy.
Hey, and welcome back.
I am back.
You are back, but I'm flummoxed.
Three nations, 2 weeks, Nepal, Korea, and the Philippines.
Yeah,
we had a great time.
Okay, wait. Nepal, negative 82 degrees.
Something like that.
And then you end up in the Philippines, which is a positive 82.
Positive 82 degrees, yeah.
How do you
rough.
Pack for
well,
that?
Well, you pack short sleeves and long sleeves and a coat because in Nepal they have no heat in the bathrooms, no heat in the restaurants, no heat in the church, no heat in the bedrooms, no heat anywhere.
So you got to bring your own heat?
I slept in my coat.
You got to bring your own heat.
You got to bring your own heat.
Did you bring the heat on the tour? How was it?
It was good. It was great. It was tons of opportunities to minister. We had opportunities to speak to the evangelical leaders in Nepal, had a wonderful time to help kickstart the Korean Christian homeschool movement, and a great conference, by the way, in Korea, and lots of great results coming out of the ministry. Spent some time with my brother in the Philippines. He's ministering on an island in the Philippines, and we spent 5 days out there.
Cool.
It was fun, yeah. God's doing a lot of good things out on the front of missions.
While you were gone, things happened here.
Lots of stuff happened here. The Democrats put the kibosh on the Born Alive bill.
Yep.
That's sad. They're just going to let the babies die on the counters. And that takes some guts. That takes some epistemological self-consciousness. That is some real commitment to their principles or lack thereof.
Yeah. The culture of death.
It is a commitment. Republicans often do not share that level of commitment, but 44 Democrats went for killing the babies. I mean, the babies born alive.
Yes.
That takes some real commitment, some conviction. And I think when we say epistemological self-consciousness, we're just actually referring to what Paul is saying in 2 Timothy 3, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Yep.
And that's what's going on here.
I was down in New Mexico for guest directing for a teen pact a couple of weeks ago, three weeks ago, and New Mexico had on the books criminalization of abortion, but because of our Roe v. Wade, that was negated, but they were concerned that Roe v. Wade would eventually be overturned, so they wanted to get that off the books. They wanted to decriminalize abortion, and since Democrats control everything in New Mexico now—
mm-hmm. Like Colorado.
Just like Colorado. They went for it, and despite the overwhelming opposition to it from the people, the House voted for it, and then I'm sure the Senate did, and the governor signed it. And
yeah.
We heard from a Democrat who claimed he was a moderate and that he stood for family values, and he would not answer the question from the students directly. This is evil.
New
when
Mexico,
you say evil men wax worse and worse, that was the face of evil. That genuinely likable, personable, kindly Democrat was the face of evil.
Mm-hmm. Well, New Mexico joins the list of the 8 worst states in the union for abortion, but the nation itself not doing real well on this, in that the United States Senate could not pass a Born Alive bill thanks to the Democrats and their opposition. Also, Justice John Roberts has joined the court's liberal justices to block the Louisiana pro-life law that does not bode well for states' rights when it comes to this issue, because some states are getting better and better, some states worse and worse. Meantime, the Supreme Court of the United States is doing its best to maintain a pro-abortion stance and to block these state attempts to move pro-life. Justice Roberts joined the court's liberal justices to block the Louisiana pro-life law that would have left the state of Louisiana with one practicing abortion doctor, and the court is now deciding whether to hear the case. His vote was a shock to conservatives who thought that Republican appointees would do the right thing. Not a shock to me.
Oh, come on.
Remember, it was the Republicans that gave us Roe Wade. Yeah, the Republicans gave us Roe Wade, so we shouldn't be surprised that this kind of thing happens. Also, remember that Justice John Roberts voted last year not to hear 2 cases that might have stripped Planned Parenthood of Medicaid funding in some states. He did something similar with Obamacare as well.
He had something to do with the, like, a health care deal.
Obamacare vote as well.
So to say that Roberts' decision was a shock to the system would, because he was appointed by a Republican, would be equivalent to saying that Nepal should be considered a shock to your system since they had no heat.
Nepal was a shock to my system. I didn't pack a single sweater.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Next time, I'm packing sweaters.
Yeah, and we should pack the Supreme Court with true conservatives.
That would be nice. John Roberts is considered the swing vote, the new Kennedy, which does not bode well. But remember also that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. I think people forget that principalities and powers work strongly upon our political leaders. We need to be praying for our political leaders. We need to be interceding for the unborn. You know, at almost every critical moment, Justice Roberts has done the wrong thing, Bill. And the reason, I believe, is that he is subject to principalities and powers. Don't minimize the influence of the devil upon these men. And I'm not sure these men are committed Christians. I'm not sure they have the strength to stand against these principalities and powers that will bend them in the direction of pure evil. We're going to be back in just a moment with more to discuss the polarization that's happening in our nation. Next on Generations. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Bill Jack, also in studio with me, as we discuss the pro-life issue, which is a polarizing issue in this nation, much more than slavery was. Slavery, obviously, a sinful issue. The kidnapping of Africans and forcing them into slavery in America, a bad idea from the beginning. But killing slaves, killing babies, is worse than enslaving babies or enslaving slaves. Are you with me here, Bill? I think that should be obvious. Some sins of themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. Killing babies is terrible, and this is going to polarize America. It could lead us to another civil war, or more likely a breakup, especially if the Supreme Court of the United States is not going to allow for individual states to make decisions on these issues. And that is what happened with the Texas law. That's what looks like is happening with the Louisiana law, thanks to Chief Justice John Roberts' position on that. America may be heading towards a civil war on this one, Bill.
But at the same time, Kevin, I do not think it's bad that the Democrats are finally pulling the mask off and showing themselves for who they really are.
Sure. They have always wanted to kill babies.
Mm-hmm. And so they are emboldened to think that they can say this, like the governor of Virginia did, and say it openly, mm-hmm. and get away with it and even draw people to their side. And I think the polarization is good. In fact, in a recent Gallup poll, it showed that now there are 6 states there were 9 states, but now only 6 states that are populated more by liberals than conservatives, which is an interesting shift.
Well, the worst states for infanticide right now, the worst states for allowing babies born alive to die are Oregon, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Vermont, Montana, Wyoming, and New Mexico.
Wyoming
as well.
Really?
That's right.
Wow.
And the late-term abortion states, Alaska, Colorado, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, and now New York are the states that have legalized late-term abortions. That's 8 states. And also the most pro-life states, according to America's United for Life, are Arizona, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas, South Dakota, Mississippi, Georgia, Michigan, Nebraska, Missouri, and Texas. Basically, southern Midwestern states, sort of heartland states. The heartland states down into the Texas, Louisiana area. These are the states that are the most pro-life states in America. The states moving pro-life are Ohio, Arizona, Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming. And the states moving more pro-death are Washington State, Oregon State, California, New York, and Virginia. The most pro-death state in America is Washington State.
That does not surprise me.
California, Vermont, New Jersey, Hawaii, Oregon, Nevada, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts are the most pro-death states, according to the work that's been done by Americans United for Life. And now, basically, that's left coast and northeast coast states. States enforcing homosexuality in public schools include California, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington, almost the same states that endorse abortion. Also,
because it's a pro-death policy.
Yeah, exactly. In the area of sexuality. States restricting homosexuality in public schools include Alabama, Arizona, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Texas. Again, these are the Midwestern states moving south. These are the states that are becoming increasingly or maintaining a pro-Christian perspective on issues like abortion and homosexuality, which means that the states are moving in different directions, Bill.
Yeah, but there's some good news, too, on the, that got, if you'll pardon the pun, got buried by all this bad news about the Democrats, you know, voting for a pro-death policy, and that is that recently the President Trump's department defunded Planned Parenthood to the tune of $60 million.
It's a good start.
That's a good start. And he, as some pro-life leaders have commented, has done more than any president in 100 years to advance the pro-life movement with his policies. So whatever you think about him, he has followed through on his commitment. It wasn't just a campaign slogan. He has attempted to bring the death culture to an end. It is the Republicans who have failed to do so. The Republican Congress failed to defund Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Republican appointed justices have failed to defund Planned Parenthood and stop the killing. And so we need to, as you said, pray for those in positions of authority and pray that the light will be shown on this heinous crime.
America is turning more polarized, friends. The righteous states are turning more towards the righteous direction. The more liberal, wicked states embracing more wickedness. And friends, Deuteronomy 28 reminds us, and I think Deuteronomy 28 can be applied to the modern states. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed you shall be in the field. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. Now, some believe that God is no longer just and God is no longer judging nations. But I don't believe God has changed his fundamental nature or his perception of evil between Old Testament and New Testament. And the blue states are, as it turns out, heading towards bankruptcy. States like Illinois and California. Investors Business Daily reminds us that 8 of the 10 states that have amassed the most debt per resident, including Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Hawaii, and New Jersey, are categorized by Gallup as solidly Democratic by political affiliation. The only firmly red state on the list of those who have some debt are South Carolina, ranked 10th in debt per resident, and Alaska. A state classifies as leaning Republican, tops the list at $10,576 of debt per resident. But remember, Alaska has been rabidly pro-abortion and pro-homosexual in its recent position. So the nations that are the most liberal, the most Democrat, the most blue, the most pro-abortion are the states that bear the highest debt per resident as a state. These liberal states and these liberal cities are burning out, friends. That's what's going on with it. San Francisco makes for a good example of this, Bill. I just did a study on San Francisco. It is, I would say, arguably the most evil city in America. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I certainly would. There's no question. And the filth and the decay and the debauchery that you see on the streets only gives evidence to that.
Well, of course, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do his commandments, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you shall be in the city. And let's take a look at what's going on in San Francisco. San Francisco Chronicle recently reported that the Bay City has more injection drug users than high school students by a ratio of 24,000 to 16,000. More injection users. And of course, the city is handing out 6 million free syringes a year to accommodate the drug addictions in the city. So again, an indication of the curse that has come upon the city for all the evil that they have brought upon themselves over the last number of decades. The city also has the lowest percentage of children of any major city in the country at 13%, a birth rate of about 1.0, which would be the lowest birth rate in the world if you compared it even to South Korea and some of the lowest birth rates out there. So God is cursing the womb. God is cursing this nation with debt, this city with debt. And Deuteronomy 28, again, is vindicated, friends. Another example. Wallet Hub also places San Francisco out of 150 cities as the third worst run city in America, just under Detroit and Washington, D.C. So again, as a city handling its finances, it is number 147 out of 150 cities in America, meaning that you're looking at a city that is careening towards bankruptcy as a drunken sailor would careen towards financial ruin. This is exactly what's going on with Sodom by the Sea. It's also the most expensive city in America. It's according to USA Today, monthly costs for a family of four are $12,370 for a family of four. That's $150,000 a year to live in the city. That's the most expensive city in America wherein to live. A highest or lowest birth rate, a highest debt, and a city that is the third worst run city in America out of 150 of America's largest cities. So God's word vindicating itself again and again. The wicked produce the most debt, the most birth implosions, the most expensive cost of living, the worst run cities, and the cities most ripe for God's judgment. CheatSheet.com places San Francisco as the third most vulnerable city to earthquake in America. 2008 USGS assessment says there's a 63% probability of a large-scale quake hitting the area in the near future. And you can blame the two faults. The Bay Area sits on the San Andreas and the Hayward faults. So, friends, that's the situation with the most immoral city in America. No question. It's a city that is in the most debt, the highest birth implosions, the most drug addictions, and it is a city that is morally, socially, economically bankrupt. No surprise there, Bill.
You mentioned earthquakes. 1908, I believe it was, the San Francisco earthquake. Mm-hmm. It nearly leveled the city. Mm-hmm. I read a book on Krakatoa and how Krakatoa was the most devastating volcano ever. Mm-hmm. And as a result, part of the resulting fallout of that, if you'll pardon the pun, was that Islamic extremists viewed it as an act of God, and therefore they roused up people, and eventually it led to the rebellion that kicked out the Dutch from the Dutch South Indies, as they were called, and led to the Islamic State that we now see in that area of the world. So you know, these things, these natural events and natural calamities, many people, not just Christians, but many people tie them to spiritual events. And we need to understand that people's worldview has have ramifications on,
well,
on things
the,
like that.
The fundamental thing, friends, is for us to fear God.
Yep.
And keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Let's remember that God is in control. God is sovereign over these things. And many of these places that that attract immorality will inevitably destroy themselves economically, socially, and other ways as well. So does all of this really cause the righteous to want to leave? For example, should Lot leave Sodom and Gomorrah? And that's the question I think a lot of Christians are asking themselves. At what point do you get out of Dodge?
Yeah, it's fight or flight.
Yeah.
You know, we have the opportunity to stand and fight, or we may choose to flee. Now, the question is, where do we flee?
Well, I think, you know, as we see the parting of the waters and the polarization of the states, there will be some states better than others. Inevitably, there may be a state to which we may want to flee. If homeschooling is illegalized in our state, there will be other states available in which we could find some refuge. And that, of course, is the mercy of God. I believe that God is merciful to his people. God will always provide some shelter, some opportunity for his people to seek some level of freedom if those freedoms disappear. But before you move, several questions to ask, several principles to consider, the first of which is this: does any of this really affect you? As the laws in your state become more and more pro-abortion, remember they're killing their own babies. They're teaching their own kids how to engage in homosexual activity, and that's bad. But are they killing your babies? And are they forcing your kids into homosexual indoctrination? The worst law right now that's being considered in the Colorado legislature, which, by the way, is probably the worst legislature in the history of this state.
Yes, it is.
HB 1032, it's homosexual indoctrination for preschool kids and up. But that's only for public schooled kids and homeschool families that use government programs. That is,
and it includes charter schools.
Charter schools
are not exempt.
And homeschools that use charter schools, right?
Yes.
So if you pay for your own children's education, you won't be forced to use this curriculum. Now, I think we should apply a full court press against this kind of wicked legislation. But at the same time, we need to step back and ask ourselves, is this really affecting us right now?
How wicked is this? When it was passed in the House, one of the representatives stood up and said, God is not in this place, and was saying that in a positive way. And the chamber gasped.
Yeah, that's the level of demonic activity that is governing the state of Colorado. But again, friends, you need to ask yourself, is there still an opportunity for us to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Now, secondly, here's the second thing to ask concerning whether it's time to leave the state of Colorado and move to Texas or somewhere else. And that is, remember the Great Commission. Go and disciple the nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. Jesus has commanded us to go to pagan nations, pagan states. Yes, places in which Jesus at present is not reigning in the civil magistrate. Granted, there are places on earth in which the influence of Jesus is fairly minimal in the civil magistrate. We realize that. Our job is not to escape the world, but to disciple the nations. Now, if you're constantly running away from the world, you have no real interest in street evangelism, jail evangelism, elderly home evangelism, abortion clinic evangelism, or even, say, legislative chambers evangelism. If you're constantly running away from the world and you have no real interest in getting out in the streets and doing evangelism, it's most likely your family will be overrun by fear and by faithlessness and by an escapistic mentality, and you won't have that spirit of power and love and a sound mind that engages itself in the public sphere. So again, that's destructive. That's really destructive. So an escapistic mentality will be a destructive mentality, a faithless mentality that will destroy your family and faith in your family through the generation. So don't give way to that. Now, if you cannot disciple the nation anymore, if the hearts of the people in the church are too hard, if there's no repentance anywhere, then it may be time to move on. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10:14, whoever will not receive you or hear your words when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are points at which we will leave, but not in fear, but simply in a symbol of a curse against the state or nation that will refuse to listen to the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their heart is too hard, and so the judgment of God will be declared upon that state as we leave, and we'll move on and disciple the next city or the next state. That's the way it works. We don't function out of fear. That's the point here. Now, if you're under the imminent possibility of arrest for preaching the gospel or homeschooling your kids, then it may be time to flee into another jurisdiction. I understand that, but don't respond in fear. The reason you move is to disciple the next state, to be more Christian, to find soft hearts where the gospel will penetrate, and repent and turn to Christ for salvation. So
I have two illustrations of that. One, I had a conversation with a representative of a national organization, a Christian national organization, and he told me that they're pulling their resources out of Colorado and they're putting their resources into Florida and Ohio. And I said, so what you're saying is that because we're so far gone? And he said, yeah, that's basically what it is. And I said, well, you're also saying that we're on our own. And he said, yep. And I said, well, that's good, because it's time for Colorado Christians to own and stand up for their own state. So that's an example of what you're saying when you say, okay, we are done here. We go disciple another state that perhaps has hope. Okay. The second one is a negative illustration, and that is I talked to my former pastor who's now down at the state capitol. He works in a rep's office. He manages his office. And he said to me after the recent midterm elections, met him, and he said, we were bemoaning the fact of the midterms, and he said he has a young attorney in his office who, after the midterms, came to him and said, I don't think I can stay in this state. I just don't think I can live here anymore because of how it's changed. And he said, I think I'm going to leave. And I got in the truck afterwards, and then I got mad. And I thought, you know what? He needs to leave. He needs to get off the front lines. He needs to get out, because he's not going to have my back as a Coloradan. It is time for Colorado Christians to stand, having done all, to stand and to fight, to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all given to the saints. And if your family is threatened, then you may consider leaving. But you, as a father, the ones I'm talking to, you need to stand, you need to speak, you need to continue to proclaim truth and grace, because we are to do that.
It's an opportunity to exercise faith. We need to stand with Shammah, who was alone in the field of lentils while his friends left and continued to battle against the Philistines. One of my favorite examples of faith in 2 Samuel 23. But may that be a characterization of ourselves. When others leave the field, we grip the sword and continue hacking away at the Philistines. I speak metaphorically for those liberals who are tuning in and getting scared. but friends, we need to stand in faith. We need to continue on, even when it gets difficult. This is the test of our faith, and may, by the grace of God, may we press through and be faithful all the way to the end. Now, we want to wrap up the program, but let me encourage you to the release of our new book. Actually, it's an expanded edition of Freedom. It's called The Story of Freedom, in which we give the full story of the development of Western freedoms and the challenges that lie before us. It's a new release from Generations called The Story of Freedom. If you want to know when to flee a state, and what is our commission with a civil magistrate, and how do we defend freedom here and now for our posterity, if you want to share the legacy of freedom, the amazing contest of freedom that has waged, and some of the greatest, most intrepid and courageous men of all of history have fought some of the most important battles for freedom. If you want to know the entire story of freedom, get the new book, The Story of Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Again, it's called The Story of Freedom, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.